We go and grab a quick bite.
We watch a movie, then fight. We're the Fast Food Film Friends.
You know, Kevin, when you and I set out to start a podcast about movies and fast food, we were so preoccupied with whether or not we could that we didn't stop to think if we should.
And life found a way.
You're listening to Fast Food Film Friends, the show where we stuff our bodies with cheap food while stuffing your ears with mindless movie talk.
This week, we'll be talking about the latest entry in the Chris Pratt cinematic universe, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which I didn't even know was the name. I just thought it was Jurassic World, too, while eating McDonald's Big Breakfast.
You know, Jurassic World was a big movie. Mm-hmm. This is a big sequel.
Mm-hmm.
For a big sequel,
that's
we're
why
going
big.
Big Breakfast right now.
Big Breakfast. They have a small and medium breakfast. We said absolutely.
I shouted through the window, largest breakfast possible, is what we got.
We wanted the type of breakfast a dinosaur would get if they had the ability to drive through a McDonald's.
From IMDb, the plot summary of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom reads as follows. When the island's dormant volcano begins roaring to life, Owen and Claire mount a campaign to rescue the remaining dinosaurs from this extinction-level event.
I want to clarify that I did not know either character's name throughout the entire movie, the two main characters.
You wanted to clarify.
Yes. I guess establish would be a better word if you're going to be a particular great...
I was pointing out your pun.
Oh. Oh, clarify. Look at you. I wrote down Chris Pratt and Jessica Chastain for all of my notes, one of which is correct. The other I found out very wrong, as Bryce Dallas Howard plays Claire. But either way, they're both great. It's just their names are really not important in any of these movies. And from McDonald's.com, their big breakfast is described as, "Our big breakfast with hotcakes satisfies with both sweet and savory. Fill up with a warm biscuit, savory hot sausage, fluffy scrambled eggs, crispy hash browns, and golden brown hotcakes with a side of real butter and the sweet flavor of maple." Now, if we're talking big, that is a hell of a description.
I'm very excited to see how this breakfast tastes, but before we dig into that, it's time for some Nimble News.
Let's do that.
Nimble News.
Nimble News is the part of the show where we review all things new as quickly as we can do. New music, shows, purchases, experiences, or even new food or movies that we don't have time for in our main discussion. Mm-hmm. Kevin, are you ready?
I am fully prepped.
And go.
I started watching the IFC original series Brockmire last week and was blown away by the writing and, of course, that beautiful, sexy voice of Hank Azaria.
The film Love, Simon is a beautiful coming-of-age story that captures the complex and unpredictable nature of high school life so perfectly. Highly recommend.
I saw the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan this last weekend at a great outdoor venue. In my opinion, the Doobies were a bit better than the headliner, but it's tough to compare as the co-leader and guitarist of Steely Dan, Walter Becker, sadly passed away last year. Overall, though, great concert with a lot of old people in cargo shorts.
I tried Chicago Deep Dish Pizza for the first time in my life last weekend, at Lou Malnati's to be exact, and although the crust left much to be desired, the rest of that thick, saucy goodness was absolutely scrumptious.
I tried one of Culver's snack pack meals last night and was thoroughly surprised at the value and quality of the food. Very cheap, very good.
I checked out Beyonce and Jay-Z's new album, Everything is Love, and all I can say is that depriving the world of a full-fledged Beyonce album is now the most immoral thing that Jay-Z has ever done.
During our last Nimble News, I reported on the purchase of a new floating hollow log for my beta fish, Johnny. This week, Johnny the beta fish is dead. Was it the log? I can't be sure. But R.I.P. Johnny the Beta.
First Reformed, the new Paul Schrader drama starring Ethan Hawke, is gorgeous and compelling and delivers a powerful message the world needs now more than ever.
That's all the time we have for Nimble News today, so let's jump into this review of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom and McDonald's Big Breakfast. Now, I do want to say this is the first show me and Nathan have done in the daylight. I'm glad we've gotten so far already, because had I seen you in this light prior during our first episode, I don't think I would have continued.
I think it's, you know, we never really disclose any details about our recording habits. We usually do this on like a weekday night, and right now we're doing this at the crack of dawn on Sunday morning. And, you know, some people like to spend their Sundays at church or on the golf course or maybe in bed.
Yeah.
But, we're doing, you know, the most holy acting there is, which is talking about movies and eating fast food.
In bed.
Yes.
I consider this my church. I also want to say that I myself had a pretty big Saturday night, so I am a little, as the Russians say, a bit hungover, or as the schizophrenics say, there's a tiny man screaming in my head. Either way, I'm moving a little slow today. I think Nathan is too, just based on his general appearance.
I went to bed a little bit late. I went to bed at 8 p.m. last night.
Ooh, that's late for you.
And so it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's dig into this food.
So first impressions, and this is a pretty decent sized breakfast and actually looks pretty appetizing. The biscuit mm-hmm. is nice and golden. These pancakes are, you know, they look pretty good. This yeah. is a, I'm ready to really, you know, have a nice hearty meal to start the day.
I am, you know, this has always been, as a child, I got this quite a bit. But it's only when you really have time to sit down with it. You don't want to get this in the car.
Right.
It's not for when you're on the go. This is a meal, I'd say, by appearance, at least on par with it, with a $4.99 Denny's Grand Slam.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's right there. They give you a whole separate bag for the syrup, the jams, the butters, the salts, the peppers, the forks. It's a lot of gear that you're hauling here. But it looks pretty good.
What do you say we start with these scrambled eggs?
You know what? That's the one that looks worst, so let's kick it off with that. Are you salting and peppering?
I'm going to go without at first, and we'll see.
If it's needed?
Yeah.
I like that they put the eggs right on top of the sausage.
Pepper. Yeah, the sausage is basically hidden.
Mm-hmm. Now, that creepily melts in your mouth, almost just disintegrates.
Yeah.
That is no need to chew.
It's definitely... was a liquid
or powder, I don't even know, but
probably
that,
mere minutes before I ordered it,
a gentle push against the roof of your mouth and it is gone.
It's a disappearing act.
It is very off-putting. However, given my current state, I'm gonna power through and give it a shot.
So I'm a big McDonald's breakfast advocate, but I actually don't think I've ever in my life had a big breakfast.
Really?
I've never actually had the whole platter. I've always go for the sandwiches.
Yep, you're a man on the go.
I've had all these ingredients, you know, in the breakfast sandwiches, but mm-hmm. never really had them individually. I'm usually, you know, fine with, you know, McDonald's eggs on their
sandwiches,
you know, like on their biscuits yeah. and McGriddles, but this is it's pretty flavorless. I mean,
yep.
Even if I did salt and pepper it, it's, you know, what am I getting? I'm getting some salt
it's
and pepper.
It's not worth it, yeah. It's not worth it. It's really not. It is kind of, you know, in a way, just a disassembled, you know, biscuit sandwich, but... I think you get a little more egg. Sausage patty is still the same sad round patty. You think they could, you know, throw a couple links in here, but not the case. God, those eggs are weird. I'd like to see what goes into the sausage there. And by sausage, I mean eggs in that metaphor, but...
It's a very confusing metaphor.
I'm diving into the sausage. I finished my meltable eggs. Cut the sausage patty in half here. I've never been a big sausage guy. When I go Egg McMuffin, I go classic with, you know, the Canadian bacon on it, or I just don't like their sausage. I'm not a big sausage guy in general, but McDonald's especially.
Absolutely agreed. Mm-hmm. Not a big sausage guy, but I'm open-minded right now.
I do want to note that Nathan did not get anything to drink with his. I had him pick me up a lovely McCafe black coffee, which was going down pretty smooth, and McDonald's orange juice, which is possibly the most expensive drink per ounce on planet Earth. My dad would never let me get orange juice as a kid because it was too expensive. So thank you, Nathan.
You had to stick to coffee.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, this sausage is... I mean, it's not really doing it for me.
No,
at all.
I think you really got to eat all this stuff together in one bite. You get a bit of each. And somehow nothing plus nothing plus nothing equals at least a little bit of something when you take a bite of an Egg McMuffin or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you... ate the ingredients to even a good sandwich, you know.
Yeah.
If you ate the bread and the lettuce, then the meat, like, you're not getting a good sandwich experience. You're probably not going to enjoy it. But if you eat them together, that's where the magic happens.
That's true.
And I feel like that's what we're doing right now.
I do want to say that the highlight of the big breakfast every time when I was a kid was the biscuit and jam. I don't know why. I don't think these are not the same biscuits that they use for their biscuit sandwiches. I don't believe.
These are definitely much more... flat biscuit.
Flat biscuits, yes.
Not as fluffy, but still nice and golden. All right, are you ready to chow down on the skit?
Oh, did you just abbreviate biscuit to skit? I think that is the least effective abbreviation of a food in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. It still hits home for me. I think that's a nostalgia thing for me. I'm curious to get your take, but that to me is like perfection.
It's, if there's one thing that Mickey D's can do,
mm-hmm.
it's a biscuit.
It's nice. It's the jam, too. I don't know. They've got, like, the perfect texture of this biscuit. It mixes with that delicious jam.
It's so nice and golden just on the outside and so soft.
Mm-hmm.
Even in a biscuit that's this... This isn't, like, a tall biscuit with, you know, a lot of room for dynamics.
Yeah.
But it's pretty flat, but they still get that texture down.
It is nice. I'm very glad we decided to do this because this will bring me back. We used to... Well, I'm not going to get into a whole story about my childhood, but... It was an experience when we went to McDonald's. We'd go to a park and eat it in the car, as families do. We would also, this park was at the bottom of a hill. We would let our dog out to run around, and then we would proceed to drive up the hill as fast as we can, and our dog would just sprint after us, thinking we were abandoning him. And then we would stop at the top of the hill, and he would catch up, and he was a tiny dog. It was a pretty big hill. We'd let him back into the car, and he'd just be panting and licking us because he was so happy that we didn't actually abandon him. So that's where this meal brings me back.
I can see... I can see why this, I can see why this biscuit means so much to you. Kevin got so emotional telling that story that he's having a hard time... He's having a hard time breathing right now.
It's just such a nice talk. There we go. Woo! It's out. Just a big chunk of biscuit. About nickel-sized biscuit. Lodged right in my throat.
Well, after that brush with death, I think I'm going to move on to my hash brown while you finish your biscuit.
I'm going to leave the biscuit because I'm a little scared. If you can't tell by my voice, I'm visibly shaken. Did we watch a movie this week, by the way?
I vaguely remember seeing a film...
Jessica Chastain.
...about dinos. And let's talk about it. So, let me know, I mean, your overall thoughts on the Jurassic Park / World franchise. Where do you stand going into this film?
I am a huge fan of the first Jurassic Park. I think at the prime age when that came out, it was, like, scary, great, exciting... I saw The Lost World. I didn't see the third one. I saw Jurassic World, the first one, and I wasn't disappointed, but I just thought they could have made it a little better. I didn't think it was great.
Yeah.
It was a decent action
blockbuster. It's a blockbuster, yeah.
That's right.
That's what it is.
So I went into this one, pretty low expectations walking in, thinking it's a sequel to a blockbuster. It's probably not going to be better. It will probably be worse, is what I was thinking walking into this. How about you?
I had a... What have you learned? Kevin, after having a brush with death mere moments ago, just stuffed half of his hash brown down his throat.
I was trying to get a quick bite in so you could get your point across.
I would have given you the Heimlich if necessary before, but at this point, you get what you deserve.
That's fair.
So, I wasn't a big fan of Jurassic World. I like Jurassic Park, the original. Never saw Jurassic Park 2 or 3.
Really? Most people have. I'm excited that we're on the same page there.
So I had pretty low hopes going into this movie. You know, I also thought this is probably going to be even less enjoyable than the first. Based on the trailers and marketing, it looked to be like the exact same.
It did.
It honestly looked like there was no difference between this one and the previous one.
Chris Pratt running through a jungle, in a jungle with some raptors that you think he's going to get killed, but they're trained. What a twist. Jessica Chastain running around with her bangs.
And if I had to make a list of all the aspects of this film and whether or not I liked or disliked them, I almost completely disliked this movie. Ooh. However, the last 30 or 40 minutes of this film, I actually really enjoyed.
I was going to say, I was surprised by how much I liked this movie, actually. I think, again, bar was set very low, but I walked out thinking, I think it was better than the first Jurassic World, in my opinion.
I think so, too, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think the original Jurassic Park is not really an action film.
No, it's
It almost feels more like a horror film. The dinosaurs are like the monsters who you're scared of. Mm-hmm. And like you're, especially, you know, as a child, you're pretty terrified watching that movie.
Yeah.
I think that Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom in the last act kind of draws back on that feeling of like being terrified by a dinosaur. Because
That's a very good point.
Jurassic World, that came out 3 years ago, that movie was like, oh, here's a big dinosaur getting eaten by a bigger dinosaur. Yeah. Just giant action scenes. And, like, I didn't care about any of it.
Yep.
But this film, by the end, it becomes, like, a pretty intimate, you know, scary story.
I think also a part of it that they brought back was really, in the first Jurassic World, the characters were there. They had those kids, whatever the deal was. But it wasn't like a tight-knit family. It didn't seem like it was. You didn't relate much with the family. You weren't hoping for them that much. I guess some people probably wanted them to live. I was fine with them dying in that movie, if they would have. But this movie, I think, it kind of gets back to the scared young kids and then nice people trying to save them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were a lot of good throwbacks, actually, to the first two Jurassic Park in this movie, which we can touch on later in our spoiler snacks. But I thought they did a very good job of kind of getting back, like you said, to that Jurassic Park vibe and feel with this movie.
Yeah. But just to be clear, Most of the characters are very dumb and make bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
The villain, I thought, was terrible. I want to be totally honest with you. I am not exaggerating when I say this. You and I saw this movie yesterday. We yes. left the theater okay. less than 24 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
This movie has been fresh in my mind, you know? Like, the imagery is I'm still thinking about it.
Yep.
I literally don't remember what happens to the villain. Because whatever it was just so inconsequential, and I didn't even care about his character in the first place.
That's the thing, you don't care about him at all.
He's just cartoonish.
He is.
Completely uninteresting.
I think this whole movie, though, takes like movie tropes and just generic movie things, and it puts it all together. Like 100 generic characters and like plot points and things that happen. It's just all stuff you've seen before, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So another thing that I really did not enjoy about this film, it tries really hard to send this like message. It's kind of like grounded in reality. Like it wants to be political, and it's got this like emotional core. Like the movie really wants you to sympathize with the dinosaurs and to like revere them, and like these characters are like, oh wow, dinos are amazing. They should be protected. However, at the same time, the action in this movie only really works if the dinosaurs are terrifying.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of this paradox of like, you can't try to make me care about these dinosaurs, but also be scared of them. Like, it tries to do too much in that regard.
I think I disagree with you. Let me start out by saying that. But I think I do agree that they try to make them terrifying for the action. But I think there's a light sprinkling of the, you know, care about dinosaurs, dinosaur animal rights. I guess just dinosaur rights. They have a little agency, a dinosaur, you know, Save the Dinosaurs agency with all their hip startup interns. But I think beyond that, I don't think they try that hard to make you really care about the dinosaur. I think there's a few lines, one that I almost teared up in.
But we can talk more in spoilers about the ending, but like there are plenty of moments in this film where I think that you're supposed to feel for these dinos.
That's fair. But that's in Jurassic Park too, you know, the sick one next to the huge pile of shit. Where they rub his belly, he's kind of having trouble breathing. They make you connect to the dinosaurs.
Yeah, my point is that it feels pretty forced in this one.
I disagree. I shouldn't, but I do. I see where you're coming from. I do, but I don't think they did it too heavy-handedly.
Now let's take a bite of these pancakes.
Yeah, these hotcakes are looking. They do give you three pretty good sized pancakes, I will say.
Yeah, the portions are pretty good.
This is a big breakfast. I have a little residual jam on my knife, too, so that's a nice touch.
I do as well.
Wow. Now, normally in life, I'm not a big pancake guy. I don't order pancakes at restaurants. I think it's a waste, too much. Usually I feel like garbage after eating them. These are actually pretty well done. Yeah. I mean, they're not too thick.
They're not bad. I do really enjoy pancakes on a regular basis.
Really?
But yeah, I mean, these are pretty satisfactory. I really don't have any complaints about
them. Yeah, I'm surprised by how good these are. I've never finished a thing of pancakes at a restaurant, I don't think. I might finish these. I'm already very full, because this is a lot of food.
So there's not really much else that we can say about this movie without jumping into spoilers. So before that, you know, for anybody who hasn't seen this film and is debating seeing it, I think overall, I mean, you're getting what you signed up for. It's a big, dumb action movie.
Yep.
But I think that the end of the movie, and especially where it ends up, is actually pretty interesting and kind of, you know, reminds me of the feeling I had watching the original Jurassic Park film, and so I really did enjoy that, and I'm excited to dive into that part.
I agree, and I would highly recommend not staying for the after credits scene. The credits are very long, and that scene is worthless.
Yep, just like look it up on YouTube or something, and it's 5 seconds and means nothing. Do you have any final thoughts for the listeners before I move into spoilers?
Go see The Incredibles instead.
I would agree.
Yeah,
I would definitely say this movie was not worth seeing in theaters. All right, so before we move into our spoiler segment, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. Fast Food Film Friends is sponsored this week by DinoBox. It's like BarkBox, but for your pet dinosaur. Sign up now and you'll receive a monthly package on your doorstep containing your dinosaur's favorite treats and toys, such as full-size automobiles, goats on ropes, and human remains. Get your first DinoBox for free at dinobox.com/fastfoodfilmfriends. And we're back, and it's time for the part of the show we like to call Spoiler Snacks, where we talk full spoilers, we talk about the ending of the film, we talk full plot details, and we also eat a snack. And since today's episode is about McDonald's Big Breakfast, for dessert we're having some cinnamon melts.
Now, I have never in my life seen these, heard anybody talk about these. I, in my head, am picturing something similar to the Cinnabon Bites from Taco Bell. you know, a nice doughy pastry with some frosting on the inside. You made me get forks for these, which concerns me.
Unlike you, I have eaten these for years, and I love them, and I cannot wait to eat these.
I can't wait to see them. Should I pop it open here? Oh my god, that looks so gross. That literally looks like a dog took a shit and then barfed on it. That is the most repulsive looking thing in a disgusting little bowl that I've ever seen. Is that how it normally looks?
Yep.
You love these.
These are incredible. I will say, these are one of my favorite foods when fresh. Sometimes McDonald's will give them to you and you can tell that they've been sitting on a shelf for hours. In which case, they're very disappointing. These look less fresh than ideal.
Oh my god, I don't want to eat it. Can I not eat a spoiler snack? Can I opt out?
You've got to have one bite, at least.
Oh my god, it looks so gross.
Just to give a full description for the fans, the description for Cinnamon Melts from McDonald's.com reads as follows. Cuddle up to our warm, mouth-watering cinnamon spice centers.
Oh my god.
Topped with rich cream cheese icing. It's the best part of a cinnamon roll.
What? The center's the same as the rest of the cinnamon roll.
This is like a sensual description.
Very sensual. That's the last thing on earth I would want to cuddle up with.
All right, Kevin, let's dig in. These are not very soft, and I have low hopes.
I'm having one, and I'm done with those. It tastes like a day-old cinnamon roll with too much bread and not enough frosting. Overcooked.
Yeah, I'm very sad that these seem to be... They're pretty stale. These are not fresh in the slightest. But, I mean, I think a stale cinnamon melt is still pretty good, in my opinion.
Let me get back in there. I just saw the one you picked up was a little softer.
Get one from the bottom center. With some of that goo.
Yeah, the goo looks all right. That's a lot better. The top ones are dry.
The bottom ones have been swimming in that cream cheese icing.
I don't think those things have moved for days. Yeah, not terrible. I wouldn't recommend getting this after a McDonald's big breakfast,
because
that's just, I already feel like garbage. You could probably hear my voice slowing down.
We are slowly entering a comatose state.
An extinction level event.
So, the ending of this film leaves us with a truly Jurassic World.
Yes.
The dinosaurs are roaming the earth freely. And
where is that estate, by the way, that they escape from? Like, what part of the U.S. are they in?
I don't think they clarified that.
I don't think they did either.
But
worrisome.
I think that where this movie leaves off is interesting, and I, for one, am already looking forward to, you know, the conclusion of this trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it could potentially be really cool seeing what would the world be like. I mean, it's just going to be chaos. Like,
it is.
The movie that's going to come next is going to be very different.
But here's the thing. There's not that many dinosaurs that get free, right?
I mean, I would say
20, 30,
yeah.
40.
But there's some pretty huge ones.
Yeah, but I mean, you get the military on that. You could kill 30 dinosaurs in a day. But, you know, I guess those dino right activists would be up in arms about it. But
right.
I cannot handle watching you plow through an entire thing of Cinnamelts after you finished your pancakes. You are a sweet breakfast fiend.
I have not eaten since our last episode.
Oh, well.
Last week.
That's good. Get your calories in now, then.
I'm filling up.
It's
going
to be another long week. I think, I agree. It's exciting to think about how the next movie is going to play out with dinosaurs being everywhere. I love that they kind of bookended this movie with Jeff Goldblum, by the way. You know, he kind of is explaining how things can go wrong and how change is unexpected. And then at the end, I think it ends the movie by saying, it's welcome to Jurassic World, a true free world with dinosaurs. I just like Jeff Goldblum a lot, so I was happy with that.
I wish he was in it more.
I do too.
He's in it for about a total 3 minutes.
Yeah,
probably.
I thought, because they started with him, I was like, oh, great, he's going to be back
in it. I thought he would actually be like a present character.
He clearly had one day free,
yeah.
And they brought him into a courtroom. And had him testify on
He dinos. Was probably already in court. They just brought the camera in.
That's true.
Hey, let's just get this quick shot.
He did seem a bit tense, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like the next one's going to be a letdown. I feel like it's going to be a Rampage-esque, like, action in the city type movie, and I guarantee there won't be much substance to it.
It could be. This movie could go a lot of different ways. It could be a really cool conclusion to the story. It could just be a big, dumb
It could go a lot of ways. Speaking of dumb, I hated the two young new additions to Chris Pratt and the redheaded, not Jessica Chastain, Bryce Dallas Howard. It was Zia and Franklin are their names in this movie. And from the point that they're introduced to the end of the movie, didn't like him. Zia grew on me a bit. Franklin, I thought, was the worst.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much... All his character is he's there to be terrified.
Yeah.
And it just gets old. Like, so old. Instantly, I'm like, all right, we get it. This kid...
He wants to be on a computer.
He should never have been on this mission, yet he's on it. And he's... Like, there's at least three times throughout this movie where he's being, like, chased by a dinosaur. Yeah. And, like, we're supposed to be, like, scared for him. But I'm like, I don't really care.
I did like... One thing I liked with his character is... When he gets caught kind of in a sticky situation, and he says, yeah, I'm a deckhand. They're on a boat. And they, like, hand him a rope, and they're like, we're launching. And he kind of disappears for a while. And the next time we see him, he's in a lab, like, pretending to be a doctor at that point or something, or, like, a scientist. And I thought that was kind of funny, just imagining all the things he pretended to be throughout that journey and how the hell he ended up there. But other than that, just a worthless character. Zia, as well, is introduced as, like, oh, I'm a... Basically a dinosaur vet. She's on the phone, but she's never seen a dinosaur, but somehow, I guess that's why she's working at the dinosaur rights office. And she's, like, getting all sassy. She's clearly not good with people. That's not her strength. She gets all up in arms with the congresswoman on the phone, and then Bryce Dallas Howard comes in and, like, changes a congresswoman's mind in, like, under a minute.
That's one of my complaints with this film. I touched earlier on how it kind of tries to get political and, like, ground the story in reality. We see a couple of shots of, like, some protests, and then we...
Yep.
Apparently you can convince a politician that we should keep dinosaurs alive by saying, don't your grandkids want to see dinosaurs?
Literally, that's all she says.
Oh, let's change the laws then.
Yeah.
And there's not really... It's not really discussed what, like, the government plan would be to save dinosaurs. Like, are we just giving them funding to protect... We don't know.
They're going
to
plug the volcano.
It's just a very vague... Save the dinosaurs, don't save the dinosaurs. Like, it's just good and evil. There's not much substance there.
Yes. It was a bit frustrating. I mentioned earlier all the throwbacks I liked, the original Jurassic Park. This one opens with kind of a T-Rex in the rain scene, which really brought me back to Jurassic Park when their car stops. You know, the guy in the bathroom gets eaten in the Jurassic Park. I really like that. There's also a T-Rex with a goat that I thought was another nice throwback. Few little points in there that I really thought stayed true and brought me back to the first one that I liked.
We haven't really touched on the climax of this film, when the Endoraptor is basically hunting our main characters throughout this estate.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was great. I mean, there's, like, this imagery of the Endoraptor, like, howling at the moon.
Yeah.
And there's, like, this really cool shot of the little girl Maisie is inside, like, a little exhibit, and we're seeing it from outside the glass wall, and she screams. And at that same moment, we see the reflection of the Endoraptor opening its mouth, and it's like this really terrifying shot.
I liked that. I also think, going basically off that exact same note, when she's in her bedroom, and this they mention when they're auctioning off dinosaurs, and they bring out this one as like a preview, and they say it's like a relentless predator, like it won't stop till it gets what it's trying to get, and it's the strongest, like, genius dinosaur. And he gets on the roof, and then she's in her bedroom. She's got, like, the classic French doors to a beautiful balcony, as most estates do. And his claw, kind of, they show her in bed, and it's a big storm outside, so it's lightning, and you can see shadows. And then the raptor's huge claws and, like, part of his head coming down. You see the shadow on the wall. I thought that was great through the door. And then he opens the door, which was pretty finesse. The finesse I was impressed with there.
And that's really, you know, when I said that this film kind of turns into a horror film. I mean, it's a lot of that imagery and, like tension really felt like I was in, like, you know, a scary movie for, like, 30 minutes there, and I enjoyed that.
I felt very bad for that little girl, because she is going to be disturbed for the rest of her life. That was, like, just terrifying.
So, speaking of Maisie, the little girl, I think that the really big moment in this film is when it's kind of in two parts. First is you find out that she was created in a lab.
Yeah.
And then she frees the dinosaurs, and the justification is that they're alive just like her.
Yeah.
And it just felt really wrong. Like, the filmmakers decided to make her a clone just so that it would help us again, sympathize more with the dinosaurs and say, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah.
But it just felt weird. Like, I don't think it didn't feel justified.
It didn't seem necessary.
That moment where she lets the dinosaurs go, it wasn't like, it suddenly changed my mind. I still was thinking, why are you doing this? Yeah. This is incredibly stupid.
Don't do that.
We should probably not leave the little girl with the button.
Yeah, that's immediately what I thought.
When
she hits it, I was like, and they just kind of turned to look at her, and she said, they're alive like me. I would have been like, hit it again. Like, shut that door. What is wrong
right,
with
like
you?
Like,
smacked her out of the way.
There's a big red button labeled open, but there's no close button.
No, they only open. It was just like their reactions to her introducing dinosaurs into the wild, into society, into the world is like, oh, well, she's a clone.
What'll you do?
I agree. It was forced. It was just weird. And like, she could have very much just been her mother's daughter and done the same thing.
And it wouldn't have really changed my opinion of that ending. She could have just been like a passionate girl who loves dinosaurs, and I would have felt the same way.
And when they introduce, it's like, they try to make it like a jaw-dropping moment. Like, the villain's like, you don't even know what she is. You're going to care for her.
Oh, my God.
You don't know. She's a clone. And then it's just like, oh, okay. You care for those the same way.
That scene is such a perfect example of why I hate this villain.
Yeah.
The dialogue is written so poorly, and there's like 3 points where the exposition is so forced, and he's just like, oh, you're curious about this? Well, let me tell you exactly the details of that. And that moment, he's like, oh, yeah, that little girl, by the way, she's a clone. And you're like, oh, should that suddenly change things? No, it doesn't have any impact on anything other than the fact that you're making her sad, if that's your goal.
I think, just to sum up, like, the end that scene, because right after he says it, like, a dinosaur just, like, screams by, kills 2 people, and everyone runs away. I think there was no other way to end that. I think the writers got there and they were just like, oh, well, shit. They're not going to have a reaction to that that's worthy of like a climactic moment. Like, we need a dino here. Insert dino here.
But honestly, I mean, that happens many times throughout this movie where a scene's only conclusion is that a dinosaur comes barreling in.
That happens
so many times.
That is true.
It just gets old.
Surprisingly, dinosaurs play a pretty big part in this. Never would have thought. Yeah, they sure do.
So you mentioned earlier the moment when the Brontosaurus is left on the island.
Man.
That moment got me too.
That was so sad.
That was the only moment in this film when I was like emotionally affected. Like watching that dinosaur be overtaken by like this like billowing smoke, and you know it's just gonna like burn in the lava, like that, and the music in that scene, everything about that was
so
great.
Sad.
It was really only possible with the Brontosaurus.
That's exactly right.
If they had used a T-Rex or literally any other dinosaur, you'd be like, oh, a dinosaur died.
Yeah.
But the Brontosaurus, I mean, and the Brontosaurus, even outside of these films, like think like Land Before Time.
Oh yeah,
like
good
Brontosauruses
dinosaur. It's a good
are
dinosaur.
Always known as being like the kind. Like, in reality, we don't know anything about their... They could have been the biggest dicks in the kingdom.
Swinging their tails around, knocking other dinosaurs
over
just for fun.
But we just think of them as these, like, slow,
I think it's
because
they move slowly. People trust things that move slowly. Little old ladies, you know? Trains.
People trust trains.
Yeah, they're just a good standby, I think.
Do you have anything else to say about this film before we wrap up? Because we're going pretty long at this point.
I took so many notes. And I realize it's just all terrible, like, plot points. That's all I wrote down. I think we covered a lot of it. I think, again, it's just, there's a lot of just dumb moves by everyone involved.
But, I mean, it's people being dumb and getting lucky, and then there's, like, Chris Pratt saving them.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
One thing I liked that I actually thought was really well done is the, kind of the portrait they paint of Blue the Raptor. I think they did a good job, like, now let me get there, because I know there's one part you didn't think about.
really?
The little girl watches videos of Chris Pratt training the baby raptors, and he's kind of explaining their development and everything like that, and he highlights that they empathize with people, and, like, they react to people, they take commands, but he hits on empathy and empathizing, and then later on, I think that, I don't know, I just thought it really was interesting to see, like, when Blue interacted with them and kind of helped them out a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that stuff was pretty forced, too. Like, we had to, like, go through and watch this dinosaur as a baby and see that it's cute.
They are cute.
And Just so that we're on the side of that dinosaur later in the film. Like, I wasn't a big fan of that.
I think the cutest thing in this movie by far was the baby Triceratops. I was like,
yeah,
in love with that little guy. Just so storming around, you know. He doesn't feature. He doesn't have anything to do with the plot. But they show him being loaded up and in the wild, and then they show him running out free. But the one that breaks through the wall, I did like him, too.
Yeah, it was fun.
He was oddly not aggressive with Chris Pratt or the girl, and then very aggressive with everyone else.
I mean, the explanation for that is pretty much like there's a handful of moments where it's just Chris Pratt is good with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And he sees a dinosaur, and he's like, whoa, girl.
Hey.
And then suddenly they're like, oh.
You know me.
I respect this guy.
Well, you know, they can smell the dino on him, probably, because he's been rubbing up on dinos and Jessica Chastain for days. Another part that just was so dumb to me, when the annoying guy, Franklin, and Bryce Dallas Howard they're like locked in that part of the old park, and the lava starts coming in, and then like a dinosaur starts coming down the tunnel, which is apparently their only way out, and then like they're basically divided by a dripping wall of lava, very, not like a solid wall by any means, literally like dripping wall of lava from this dinosaur, and that you think they're like trapped. They've made it out to seem like there's no way out of this room other than that tunnel that the dinosaur is coming from.
And suddenly,
oh, a ladder up to the roof with like an escape hatch. Like, what? How? And it just made me so mad. And like the dinosaur could have just walked right through. And it's like the timing, it's like the dinosaur is an inch away and like he clearly can't get any higher. And then every step they take, he can just
stop his body
up this narrow tube. He just keeps getting farther and farther until they have to like shut him down the hatch and fasten it down. I was like, this is the worst. That's the thing I liked about the old Jurassic Park is if a dino is going to get you, it's going to get you. They didn't play around. The raptors got you. The T-Rex got you.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, I guess the kitchen scene is a good scene where they, but I guess they're just trying to kill you all the time. They're not like lollygagging. And they're not putting people in unrealistic situations where like, oh, here's an easy out. Just pop up this hatch. It's all like much more real. And I think that plays to the horror part of it. You are just more scared because it seems more real.
Yeah.
And not like a blockbuster movie that just needs an out. Like, you know what you're going to get going into this movie, I think. And as many parts as there were like that were just dumb or kind of seemed set up and just poorly written and too quickly resolved, I liked it still.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked recently on the show about like the power of a good or bad ending and how that can really like change, you know, your overall view of a film.
Yep.
And I think the first hour and a half of this movie was kind of a waste to me, but then like the end like is pretty cool. It's interesting, and I'm glad I saw that. And so, yeah, I walked out of the theater like, oh, that wasn't that bad. Like that was, I enjoyed that. And like I said before, I'm looking forward to seeing where the series goes. Although I will say, we have not mentioned where this movie ends up. It's a direct ripoff of the Planet of the Apes franchise, which is very recent.
Oh, like, yeah, you're 100% right.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the first one, ends with the monkeys being set free into the world.
Yep.
And then the sequel to that film is, okay, this is what happens when monkeys are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see where this franchise goes, but I hope it's not just a total rehash of that.
I think it probably will be. I mean, I think eventually they're just going to start making like one movie a year. It's all just going to be the same. I think that's what we're marching towards with these giant summer blockbusters. Might as well.
I definitely felt like, especially with like introducing younger characters in this film, I feel like they're trying really hard to keep this franchise going because you can't pay Chris Pratt money for every single movie.
I'm fine with Chris Pratt in this movie. I think he knows the game. Bryce Dallas Howard to me is so tense and rigid and just seems so unnatural. It could be part of her character, and I think it kind of was in the first Jurassic World. But just every scene she's in, I just feel, I don't know, I'm not convinced that like she's actually in it with all these other people. Maybe it's her perfectly set bangs or something like that. I'm not sure.
I'm honestly not really a big fan of either of them in these movies. I'm a Chris Pratt fan in general. I really enjoy him as Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, absolutely.
But
and Andy Dwyer.
I feel like he's kind of trying too hard.
In this one, I thought they did a good job. I think in the first Jurassic World, absolutely. I think they really tamped down like his kind of clever, smart-ass
not even clever, really, trying to be clever, smartass, like, kind of joking tone in this, much more than the first. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, there's, I don't know, I feel like it just has too much going on. The Dr. Wu, too, I feel like they tried to make that a big reveal, the scientist who, like, in the first Jurassic World kind of made it all happen.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead. I don't remember Jurassic World. I was pretty sure he was dead, and they kind of wait till probably three-fourths of the movie, and they introduce him in like a boom way, and I was like, right.
Right.
Like, and then a dinosaur slept in again. Like,
how it does.
I don't know. It is what it is at the end of the day.
So my final verdict is I would not recommend rushing out to the theater to see this film. I mm-hmm. think I enjoyed the last third of it. I'm being very serious when I say that you could literally rent this movie and watch the last third and get just as much enjoyment out of it, I think, as you could watching the entire thing.
Yeah, skip the Brontosaurus on the dock. It's going to hurt your heart.
What's your recommendation for this film?
If you stumble across it, if it falls into your lap, give it a shot. I wouldn't go out of your way. I would not spend money to see it. Watch the first Jurassic World again. It's about the same. I think it exceeded my expectations because I thought it would be worse than the last one, and it was the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bar was pretty low.
Very low.
And it definitely went above that bar, so.
Yes, I agree.
So, the McDonald's Big Breakfast.
It's big, man. It is big. I think hash brown's great. Biscuit is a highlight other than almost dying. It was great. pancakes were surprisingly delicious. The eggs and the sausage... low points. Not wild, but the eggs especially were just strange.
Yeah.
Very strange. That can't be the same eggs they use on their sandwiches.
I mean, it's not quite the same form.
Yeah.
Like, the shape is different. Yeah. They're not, you know, but I had pretty much all the same thoughts. I think that you're way better off just getting a breakfast sandwich. The McGriddle kind of uses, like, the pancake bun. And, like, your biscuit has that.
Do you eat McGriddles regularly?
Occasionally. I'm more of a biscuit guy.
You're a disgusting man. I want to note that Nathan finished off the entire thing of Cine Nightmares, whatever the hell they are. Cine Melts, is that what they are? He is licked the little container clean. Not a speck left on his fork either. And I am repulsed. I am absolutely repulsed.
The Big Breakfast was a little bit of a letdown, but the Cinnamon Melts, you know, even when they're a little stale, I still love them.
Oh my God.
These are my snack.
Do not buy those, anybody listening. To the one man listening, do not go get Cinemelts. Just don't do it. It's not worth it. I thought the Big Breakfast was good. I think it's a good standby. Like I said, it's, you know, you're going to go to Denny's and spend $4 and have to tip somebody for the same meal. So just go to McDonald's and get it without a tip. Here's the tip. Don't get Cinemelts.
You can find all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm, and pretty much wherever else you find your podcasts.
We also are on the social medias. If you want to give us a shout-out on Instagram or Facebook, or drop us a note. Tell us if you saw a movie, if you liked it. If not, we're going to keep making the show anyways.
And until then,
farewell. Last week I reported, actually 2 weeks ago, I reported on the purchase of a new floating hollow log for my beta fish Johnny. This week, Johnny the beta fish is dead. Was it the log? I can't be sure. I thought you'd like that. That's why I wanted to do it so badly last week.